Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
An Erios production.
Menopause is coming and the men have all left town, but I'm not giving up until I see that baby crown. 39 and single, can someone help me out? He could be balding, bearded, short or tall, funny, smart, love basketball, from gay, straight, black to white, tiny eyes with an underbite. I just need
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of season 4, Pregnancy. I hope you all had a wonderful week. Big thank you to my latest patron, Lee A. And thank you also to Shay K for raising their pledge. And another big thank you to all the women who wrote to me after last week's episode to let me know that they too had positive Pitocin experiences. Wow, okay, this is really good to know. There are a lot of nightmare stories out there about Pitocin, but it's really great to know that Pitocin is effective, and it's probably more effective than not, or they wouldn't be using it, probably, right? Now, last week when I left you, I had an ultrasound lined up for Friday. By Wednesday, I was starting to get nervous. I do a good job of keeping the nervousness at bay, but the fear that we won't see a healthy, happy baby in there does float in and out of my thoughts from time to time as the ultrasounds get nearer. So anyway, I got to my OB's office, which is unfortunately in a crowded hospital. I was double masked and soaked in sanitizer. I get to the office, I'm escorted to the exam room, and I say, "No gown?" And the nurse says, "Oh no, honey, we're just taking blood today." "What? No ultrasound?" "Yeah, I was mistaken. Today's appointment is just a little check-in with the doc and a blood draw. My next ultrasound isn't until my 20-week scan on October 29th. I wouldn't have any reassurance for a whole month." But then my doctor said that she could do the Doppler on my belly, and this time I was all for it. I wanted to hear that heartbeat and know my baby was okay. Sorry it's so hard to hear us talking above my baby's incredible heartbeat. But anyway, the doctor said that the heartbeat is perfect and that those staticky noises you hear every now and again are the sound of the baby kicking. And now, it's time to hear about my baby and my body. Ingrid!
Molly is 16 weeks and 2 days pregnant. So, at week 16, week 16... baby is as big as an avocado. Okay, so a little bit bigger than a navel. That was a navel orange last week, right?
I feel like navel oranges are bigger.
That's what I thought in my head, but avocados have a little
longer,
more of a different
and
shape.
And this says?
Measure 4.6 inches and weighs 3.5 ounces.
Very, very light, but big.
Light, but big. That's your baby. Okay. Baby may even be kicking this week. Have you felt anything? Oh, but you may not be able to feel it just yet. You better yell at me when you feel the baby kick.
I
want to know.
I will.
Baby's starting to be able to hear your voice and they'll recognize it at birth. Shut up. So feel free to chat baby up any chance you get. Baby's eyes and ears are now in their final position. Baby's developing backbone and neck muscles mean he or she can hold their head up just a little more erect.
Mm-hmm.
Baby's heart is already working hard, pumping 25 quarts of blood a day.
How much is that?
That just sounds like a lot. Okay, what about your body?
Oh, tell me about my body.
Your body's now producing more melanin. This I have heard about with pregnant women. The pigment that gives your skin hair and color, but that can also create dark patches called chloasma, okay, yeah, that can pop up on the cheeks, forehead, and neck. These typically lighten or disappear after birth. Sun exposure can make it worse, So use sunscreen.
Oh, but speaking of sunscreen,
yeah,
I went to the dermatologist this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And you know why? Because I haven't really, I think I mentioned it maybe once on the podcast, but my feet are all screwed up. I've got these big lumps around my, on my shins and my ankles and on top of my feet, not a ton of them, maybe 5 to 8. And they're hard. And they get red and they're sensitive when you press on them and they cause my feet to swell a little bit and feel very achy. And I told Dr. Chung about it. Then I told my OB about it. I told my acupuncturist and I went to a GP and nobody had any answers. So finally went to a dermatologist and her theory is that it's erythema nodosum. And I should have looked up what that is. I'll cut that in later. Erythema nodosum, a painful disorder characterized by tender bumps or nodules under the skin. Erythema nodosum is an inflammatory disorder. Symptoms include flat, firm, hot, red, and painful lumps that usually appear on the shins. Later, they may fade and look more like a bruise and then resolve on their own. That's exactly what happens with mine. Mine aren't flat. They're more like pea-sized, round. But they do. They start out as a lump, then they get red, and the redness spreads, and then it turns into a bruise. My doctor prescribed a steroid cream and compression socks. So it's super hot out, and I'm wearing these knee-high compression socks that are super sexy. Anyway, I think it's working. Oh, and when I look up erythema nodosum and pregnancy on Google, it says about 5% of pregnant women develop erythema nodosum. Oh, and it says the cause may be increased estrogen levels during pregnancy. And that's interesting because when I was pregnant in February this year, I also had a problem with my ankle. There were lumps there, but I thought it was an ankle issue, so I went to an orthopedist. Also, when I did IVF and did my egg retrieval back in fall of 2019, I also had swollen ankles and feet. So it's cool to know. And the other thing that I think is a skin topic is my little heat rash on my tummy I had the other
yes,
night, right?
Yes,
it was red.
It was red. It was like a noticeable area.
Patch.
Yes.
And if I pressed on it, it left white fingerprints.
Yes.
And it was hot out.
Oh, so hot.
And also my boobs were also like that, but I didn't show you my boobs.
I did not see.
And and itchy.
Ugh, itchy nips. Okay. This I'm curious about.
Oh, yeah.
Up to 75% of moms to be, get that dark vertical line, which I've seen, didn't know what it was called linea nigra?
Sure.
Nigra?
Niagara.
Linea nigra? L-I-N-E-A space N-I-G-R-A. On the belly, a result of the same pregnancy hormone that causes the darkening of your nipples.
So
I've seen that line before. I never knew what it was.
I don't know if I have one. Let's look. I feel I don't. But
no,
maybe
you
I
absolutely
do.
Do not. Nope.
Okay, fine.
It's as uniform in color as your face.
Well, I guess so. I guess it starts coming now, but it probably doesn't just appear all at once at week 16.
Do you only have that while you're pregnant? Or does
yeah,
that
and then
line,
it goes away.
And then it goes away.
Yeah.
Amazing. Now, besides your superpowers of smell, very true, she does have that, your nasal mucous membranes are also
Wait, I
affected.
I smelled her perfume the other day. Oh, I felt really bad because, well, I was like, Ingrid, can you check your perfume to make sure it doesn't have phthalates in it?
It, you know, the only ingredients listed were alcohol and fragrance, so most certainly it probably did.
So now Ingrid can't wear her fancy perfume.
But I don't need to. I'm not trying to impress anyone. I just tried to brighten my mood one day. It's fine. It was very heavy. But also throughout the day, you're always like, Ingrid, do you smell this? And I never can. And I feel like I have a really good sense of smell.
It's usually my bad body odor or the garbage.
It is, but I haven't smelled it. Ugh. Okay. And your nasal mucous membranes are also affected by the increased blood flow, so your nose might get stuffed. Mine is currently.
Mine too.
Or you're more prone to nosebleeds.
I am.
But you haven't had one.
Oh, I have.
Oh, I have not seen that.
But more last week than this week. But I've been sneezing a lot, and my nose is stuffed. But yours is too. So it might just be the smoke that's in the air.
Because
the
smoke is back,
oh
baby.
Oh, my God.
It's not the smoke, actually. It's just the air quality is really bad.
Yeah, I am. I feel like.
Yeah.
So stuffed up. Okay.
Okay.
Backaches?
No.
Bigger boobs. Your breasts have probably gone up several cup sizes.
That's
by
a
now.
Lot.
And I know several is a lot. Like how? Okay. And should be completely prepped. Whoa. For breastfeeding by the end of the second trimester.
Well, I'm disappointed. Because the only thing that's growing, honestly, still is my damn nipples. They've gone up. They've gone up about 12 cup sizes and just straight outwards.
God. You're going to have to show me so I can confirm this to the listeners. No, I'm kidding. No. Okay, so bigger boobs, and then constipation is an unfortunate result of your uterus starting to press on your intestines.
I don't think it's happened for me yet, but I eat a lot of fiber.
You do. You do. Okay. And a lot, yeah, a lot of fiber. Forgetfulness, aka hashtag pregnancy brain.
I don't know. I'm always forgetful and always have pregnancy brain.
I feel like I currently have it. Absolutely. Dry, itchy, sensitive eyes.
Very much so right now. But you too?
Me too.
Yes,
I too.
It's the smoky air. Well, thank you so much, Ingrid.
Oh, thank you. I am learning so much.
I appreciate it. Have a nice day on the other side of the house.
Thank you. I'm gonna get back to Zoom job. Bye.
Bye. And now it's time for our interview. Ladies and gents, it's my pleasure to introduce my friend, actor, writer, director, and mom, Anne Gregory. Anne, thank you so much for joining me again.
It's good to see you. Last time I just saw you on FaceTime, so it's good to see you.
Listeners, I have already done an interview with Anne, and the sound quality, I think it was on my end.
But anyway, it was really,
I don't know.
Really poor.
It might have been my end.
And so unfortunate, because it was a great interview. And luckily, I don't remember any of it. So.
I don't either. There's just too much information every single day now.
Yes, it's true.
It's too much.
It's true. And then I also hear stories a lot, so I don't know whose are whose.
Okay.
So.
Whew. I think we talked about my uterus a bunch, but that's all
and
I remember.
And I want to hear it all again.
Great. Mm-hmm.
I want to hear it all again. But Anne and I,
well, we used to be on an improvised musical.
A rock opera.
Team together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Everything was sung.
And I just had a great idea.
No. No, I'm not. No. I'm going to drink my LaCroix.
It would be really, really bad.
It would be so bad. No one wants to hear that.
But come on, give us a sample.
No, my God. No.
A scene would go like this.
Okay, sure. I'll do it.
We would get a suggestion of, like, let's say, what was it? We would get the title of a musical?
I think so.
So, like, Rain in the Summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the music would start. Eric would start playing on the piano.
Yeah. And then Greg Jenkins would be sometimes on the guitar.
Yeah, that was cool. Electric guitar.
We'd have like a band
playing. Because it was a rock opera.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would do an opening.
And everything would be sung. And it would just be like, it's raining. Oh my gosh. Like,
and wait, hold on. Anne would always be the first one out on stage.
It's raining. The drops are falling everywhere. It's raining.
No one wants to hear that. But
and
I think
but I wish it was raining. But then we would be doing that part. And then we would be backup dancers and we'd come out and support.
Yeah.
And then
so much support.
Oh, and then there'd be harmonies, really not great harmonies.
Not great, but committed.
But you know, commitment is all it takes to be funny.
You know? That's right.
It doesn't,
a lot of committed dancing, try to synchronize that, which is just funny.
Oh, yeah.
To some people it's horrific.
Yeah.
But it was funny to us.
And then I would always get left out on stage alone.
Yeah. You would start singing
and then everyone would leave.
And they'd be like really sad songs. They would always be about like your husband leaving you or like having, I don't know, just like.
I'm a kid and nobody's home and loves me.
Nobody ever wanted to play with you. Nobody wanted to go to the dances with you. Like nobody wanted to be with you.
And I'd sing a sad song.
And we just found it funny. So we would just let you sing for like 25 minutes.
And I hated it because I cannot rhyme on the spot. But it doesn't matter in a rock opera because who knows?
It's
I've never seen one.
You haven't?
I'm kidding.
Okay.
But no. Then I went on to tell Anne all about my erythema nodosum and to show off my compression socks. And she told me this.
Yeah, I didn't have that, but I had like legs that were like twice the size of the rest of my body by the end of the pregnancy.
What is that from?
I forgot.
Well, we don't know.
Oh my God. I should know. It's been, I have a kid who's 6 and a kid who's 4.
And that is why we're here today.
That's not that long ago, but I don't remember the technical name of like anything that happened to me, but I just remember that like, when I was like losing water after giving birth to C-sections, was
don't
that,
give it all away.
Oh shit. Well, spoiler. Okay. I'm going to stop talking. Let's just go back to singing. It's raining. It's raining.
The drops are on my face and breasts.
Everyone's like, you guys only said it's raining. And that's pretty much what we did.
That's how our shows went.
Yeah. But when the water went down, I had like these just gigantic legs. It's like when, you know, you match like an elephant head to like an iguana's body, like that playground game where like you just, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It was like that with my legs, which were just like elephant legs.
Oh my
gosh. When I lost the water, you'd think that they'd go in from the sides, but they just, the water kind of like left so that
from
my
the top.
So my thighs were like way thinner than my calves.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And it just slowly went. And like at one point, half of my calves were like gigantically fat and half of them were like.
How long was it like this?
Just probably like 5 days. Nothing crazy.
Oh my gosh. Oh my
yeah.
gosh.
That might have been also all of the fluids they were pumping into me
right.
from my extended hospital.
Spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler. Pregnancy's fun.
I know. Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Like I said, I know. Okay. I know one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you initially was because I loved your first period story. And so I need you to tell that story real quick.
Okay.
Or not so quick.
I've got
as long as you want.
Okay. So I was 11, a girl.
A mere
You
last.
Saw the picture of me that my sister sent me. She was like, this
Would
is the
day. Would
you
fucking stop hitting your ring on the
oh
table?
Oh my God, I just want to like like let everyone know that I'm married. Just in case you're not sure, I'm going to do that.
It's a clank.
So I was 11. I looked like I was probably 42, though. You've seen the picture. Like, I look older than I am currently. So anyways, I was 11. We were at the Chinese village, Epcot, on vacation with my family. And it had like one land that's like technology, like the land of the future, like Tomorrowland.
Mm.
They did a movie. That then there's like these little villages of the world. And I like loved it. It was fun. We got dinners and we usually it was lunch. We usually split dishes like you do at a Chinese restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to eat all the Kung Pao chicken by myself. I was like a very hungry child and I got a huge stomach ache and I'm like, oh, I had to go to the bathroom.
Oh.
And in the bathroom, just like it's blood, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, motherfucker. I knew because I had two older sisters that I had my period.
Yes.
And I was
so
11.
You weren't scared. You knew
I wasn't
you knew
scared,
what it was.
But I was fucking angry because I was not ready to be a woman yet.
Yes.
At all. Like, I wanted to be a kid.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is I knew I was going to be short because I was already short. And I know you don't like grow a lot after having your period. So
I wonder if that's a real thing. I'm going to look that up. I mean, it probably
is. I think it is.
Girls typically have a growth spurt in the 1 to 2 years before menstruation starts. For most girls, puberty occurs between 8 and 13 years old, and the growth spurt occurs between 10 and 14 years old. They grow just 1 to 2 additional inches in the year or two after getting their first period. This is when they reach their adult height.
At any rate, so I go to my mom. My mom's like old hat at girls having periods. I'm the third one, whatever. So she hands me a tampon.
Mm.
Okay, you guys, I'm 11. I'm at Epcot. Just to paint the picture, I am wearing a Hard Rock Cafe Chicago shirt. I'm from Milwaukee, and I have a Chicago shirt, like it's something special. And then I have Umbros that are teal and purple. So I'm wearing this. There's blood on my Umbros. My mom gives me a tampon. I go back into the bathroom alone. My mom doesn't even bother with her 11-year-old daughter to like comfort me, show me how to put in a tampon. By the way, nobody tells you to use a tampon in your first period. Like, no one. This is not a
thing. I got a tampon immediately and put it up there because I was so excited.
Well, that's
but
exciting.
I was almost 16.
You were almost 16. I was 11.
Yeah.
I didn't know where my vagina was, and I stuck it up my butt. I stuck it, but it wouldn't go all the way up my butt because I was clenching because it was terrifying.
Well, I don't think it would go up regardless. It's dry.
I have a very wet butt. No, but so I go out with like this half stuck in, supersized. It was also like a supersized tampon because my mom had only like the green. Remember the green super tampons? So it's like sticking out of my butt like a tail. I'm bleeding all over my umbros. And my mom is like finally like, okay, I'll spend the money on the pad. Like she's doing me some like gigantic service.
Like a quarter from
like
the
machine? Quarter, yeah. So I had a pad.
Wait, so did you know it was in your butt?
No, I thought that my hole was just too small. I was just like, Mom, your big tampon doesn't stick in my vagina.
Oh my God.
Like I didn't know where my vagina. I hadn't masturbated at this. I didn't know. So I was like really Catholic. I had no idea. I knew what it was, but I didn't explore that area.
No.
You know, I just clanked my ring again. Sorry.
You did?
Yeah. So I put the tampon in, but I have blood all over my umbros.
Oh.
So I asked my mom, I'm like, Mom, can I get new shorts? And she's like, not for Disney prices. So like, I have to go around all day
at
Epcot. I'm so angry. And this picture that I showed you, like, yeah. I'm so fucking pissed to be a woman. Oh, no. I have another really horrific uterus story.
Oh, I mean, I'm down. Love it.
Really?
I love it.
Okay. This might explain, this all kind of explains though why I like didn't have sex till I was 24. All of this.
That's
right. All of this is like, I just like hated that area afterwards. Like, and I joined cross country, and because my grandma had said people who run too much don't get their period.
Right.
So then I became like a state champ. Like just because I was like running away from womanhood so hard.
And you didn't get your period. It didn't.
I got it like once a year, every year
wow.
of high school. Yeah. And then I got to college and I was like 1 month into college. I'm doing a musical. I get dress rehearsal and I'm getting these stomach cramps and they get more and more painful. And I go back to my dorm room and my roommate, Elise Nakajima, she's like, my high school friend had the appendix out, the appendix burst. They
Hers?
Went to her friend from high school.
Oh, okay.
And they went so late that they said if you hadn't got there, like if you had gotten there 10 minutes later, you would have died or
wow.
something like that. So my, like Elise Nakajima was like, we're going to the hospital right now. We're still friends. She's awesome. But she was like really nervous about it. So we went to the medical center and it's a full moon. So it's like crazy. It's crazy busy. They see me and they're like, yeah, this does seem like appendicitis. But with appendicitis, the pain gets increasingly worse. So we're not going to take your appendix out unless the pain gets worse.
And they're also, only telling you this from like palpating it, right? They're not like
they're
taking an x-ray?
They're not. Yeah. They're okay. They're just doing that at that stage. And they were like, also, we want to maybe do like an to do a pelvic exam to see if it's anything there.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So they give me the pelvic exam, but I'm a virgin.
Had you been to the gyno before?
No.
Oh.
They break my hymen.
What does that even mean? Is that a real thing?
For me, it was. My mom was like, you'd be a great princess because they checked the sheets for blood. So like I just had like, it was fucking the parting of the seas. Like it was just so much fucking blood
wow.
everywhere. So much so that they couldn't give me a pap and couldn't check my uterus. And we're still worried about it.
This is crazy. I really need to look up hymen stuff now.
What the hell is a hymen, y'all? In my mind, the hymen is like a seal. Like you open up your yogurt and you peel off the thin plastic sheath. But I don't think that's correct. The hymen is a thin, fleshy tissue that's located at the opening of your vagina. There's a lot of confusion about hymens out there. Many people think the hymen totally covers the opening of your vagina, that's me, until it's stretched open, but that's not usually the case. Most of the time, hymens naturally have a hole big enough for period blood to come out and for you to use tampons comfortably. So, okay, some people are born with so little hymenal tissue that it seems like they don't have one at all. In rare cases, people have hymens that cover the entire vaginal opening or the hole in their hymen is very small and they need to see a doctor for a minor procedure to remove the extra tissue. Just like other parts of the body, hymens are a little different for everyone. So in my mind, it's just another layer of tissue. It's just more internal, so you can't really see it. And it's got a hole in it, and that thing just stretches over time. All right. I don't know. I still don't get it.
So anyways, they have to wait until I heal in that area to check.
Oh.
And they're pretty sure it's not appendicitis, but I still have pain, so they want to make sure.
Yeah.
But it's a busy day at the hospital, so they're like running out each time I see a new doctor. Like, I've never seen the same doctor. I'm trying to get some rest because I have my opening night of my musical the next day. And I hear the door open and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have another person in my room. Like, they had that, you know, the curtain in between us. And then I hear the door close, but there's like a gurney there. So I'm like, I check, you know, because I'm not like dying here. And so I check over and it's a dead body. So the guy comes in. I swear, he's like, he has a Coke now in his hand.
And the dead body?
No. This nurse. This nurse was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was taking this down to the morgue. I'm so tired and I needed like, or the attendant or whatever. I don't know. They needed a Coke because it was such a crazy evening.
Oh my God.
Time goes by. They try to give me another pap smear, but now like I'm like scabbing. Like there was so much blood that it's like scar tissue. So they're like, we're going to have to do an internal ultrasound.
Transvaginal.
The transvaginal thing with the like, they just put like a condom on the wand.
Yes. Yeah.
So they take me into another room. A doctor comes in and she's like, is it okay if some of my med students observe this? This is a teaching hospital for my university.
And you're like 18?
I am 18.
Oh my God.
And so,
you don't know what to say.
I've been up all night. I'm so tired. And then they're like, so I said yes. And she starts, you know, it's like kind of like masturbating you. They're sticking this like wand into you and they're all looking at like the screen and they're like, oh wow, we've only looked at cadavers and older people and look at this young uterus. It's just such a young uterus. And they're all looking at me and then they get turns like trying it because they haven't gotten to do this.
Stop.
So I get like 8 different students like just basically masturbating me.
Men and women.
Men and women.
Unbelievable.
At the end of the night, they're just, so like this is like the morning now. They say, okay, after all of this, we've diagnosed you. It's Mittelschmerz.
Mittelschmerz?
Have you?
No.
It just means I have a problem ovulating. Sometimes it's painful. That's all it was.
Oh
after all of that, I just have Mittelschmerz.
Because it's in the middle of your cycle.
Yes,
and
it's ovulation. Pain.
Oh.
That's like the German word for pain.
Oh, my God.
When I'm like, yeah, that was a lot
of Schmerz. I think I've actually said that word on the podcast before.
Schmerz?
No, Mittelschmerz. I remember
Mittelschmerz.
Like doing a cutaway to like... Mittelschmerz. Oh my God, that's so funny.
At any rate.
And unbelievably horrific.
Yeah.
I can't believe you were like violated.
Yeah, and then I didn't have sex till 24.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good Lord.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No, I'm good. I clinked my wedding band before. I'm doing fine.
She's doing real good.
I'm doing okay. Are any of us doing okay? I talked to my therapist this week and I was like, you know what? I'm going to just be okay not being okay right now.
Yeah.
Because like, it'd be insane to be 100% okay right now.
I think at any point, most people, I mean, right now there's a lot, the ratio of okay to not okay is a little different than usual. But I think like at any time there's a lot of good and a lot of bad in most people's lives. And
that's the truth.
Like right now I'm great. But I'm also not great at all.
No, you look great. You look so healthy. You've got the glow thing going.
No, that's
you do.
Sleepy red eyes.
No, your skin looks good.
Oh, thank you.
Your skin always looked good, though.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Okay, so then you met your man.
Yeah. And then we were married for around 5 years. We were probably not going to have kids. And then I just turned 32 and I was like, right now.
Oh, really?
Right now. This happens. I don't know. It was like animalistic.
Did you have any concerns because of the Mittelschmerz?
I did. And I had some concerns. I had some concerns that I wouldn't get pregnant because of all of the missed periods. Like for some reason I was like,
Were you still missing your periods later in your 20s?
They were always irregular. Mine are still pretty irregular. Right now they're probably the most regular that they've ever been.
Wow.
And he had a vasectomy, so I'm not on any kind of like birth control or anything like that. But I probably eat, like, I think I'm just healthier. I'm a healthy weight. I don't exercise too much. Like, I just take, like, gentle walks and do gentle yoga.
Yeah.
So I think that my body is better with that.
Yeah, that makes sense. But mm-hmm. also, I feel like those all the pregnancy hormones probably sort of like jostled you into like homeostasis, maybe, where you're like your thyroid or your pituitary gland was sort of like.
My thyroid went crazy.
Oh, it did.
Yeah, after Moira, 4 months in after giving birth, like my hair started falling off in clumps.
No.
And this was like when the pregnancy hormones are leaving your body. So
yes.
Some women like lose all their hair, some lose very little hair. And I was losing a bunch of hair, not all of it. And then my thyroid went into overdrive.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know it at the time, but I was like losing so much weight and was really like sweating. Like Sean would have to sleep in a different bed sometimes because there'd be like a puddle of just like my sweat in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
That I had hyperthyroidism, which made me depressed.
Oh.
It's okay. Then you get on drugs. Drugs are good for those things. But the 32, okay. I wanted to get pregnant. It took us a normal amount of time for that, but I felt like it was too long. We did get pregnant like within like 6 months, I would say, something like that. We were going to like an Oscar party at Hannah LePayton's apartment and like he came back and like we had like a half an hour. And so we like did it in the living room.
At Hannah's?
No. Nothing that kinky. Like just like.
Hannah's been on the podcast.
Yeah, I love her. And it was just like from behind, no eye contact. And that was my daughter.
That was it?
And it was like, you know, like maybe 2 minutes or something. You know what I mean? Like it was just like so fast. That's Moira, my daughter.
That's Moira.
Yeah.
And pregnancy, how was it?
It was good. The first
it was?
One, yeah, I did not get sick.
Again, sorry, I don't remember anything.
No, that's
literally
great.
Nothing.
No, I didn't. I actually really loved being pregnant. I particularly loved once you like felt the kicks. I loved it. And I think maybe one of the reasons I'm just like putting this together that I loved it so much is I hated my body so much from like getting my period early.
Yeah.
And then trying to change it by running so much and like probably having some. It wasn't eating issues, but exercise issues surrounding that. Like, I feel like once I was finally taking care and nourishing my body and it was like miraculous and feeling the baby kick was just like,
yeah,
I loved it so much.
Yeah.
And then I took a natural childbirth class.
Do you know how many months you were when you started feeling kicks?
I'm going to say like it really started coming in at like 5 months, something like that.
They say 20 weeks, so that would be 5 exactly.
Yeah, but like it got really strong probably like month 7, I would say, is like when I would see like a full foot and I'd be like, whoa.
Oh.
Some people get grossed out, but I was like, that's so cool. There's like a human.
You could see it.
And there's a human's foot inside me. And I know that's like.
Like other people could see it too. It's not just you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I remember the sensation. It was so, It was so. I'm just gonna take it off.
No. I feel like that's bad luck. It's not
bad luck.
I don't know.
No. I'm taking off my ring because it's making too much noise. It's like not a big ring too. That's the funny thing.
Huge.
It's just huge. It's like, so I loved that. That I thought my mom had, I think you sometimes get in your head what your friends and your mom, like their birth stories kind of affect what you think your birth story is going to be like.
For sure.
So a close friend at the time had like a home birth and I was like in Los Feliz where you are right now, like Silver Lake. Like a lot of people like go for like the home birth or the no drugs, or my mom had no drugs with all three of us.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, duh, I have a pretty good threshold for pain. Like I have like no threshold for pain. I didn't know that at the time. And I wanted my biggest nightmare for some reason was to get a C-section.
Yeah.
I thought the recovery could be really bad. I heard that you don't bond as much with your baby. I was told all of these things. And if you want to avoid a C-section, there are all of these interventions you're supposed to like forego or try to avoid. Like when your water breaks, take your time going to the hospital. Or when you go into labor, like take your time going in
because
you're more relaxed at home. Like try to avoid Pitocin because people who go on Pitocin statistically are more likely to have C-sections, those things. So all of those things happened.
Like, yeah.
I mean, like I don't have to go into my whole birth story, but it was like.
Well, you can.
I didn't sleep. Okay. It was like I went into the hospital. My water like burst. It didn't just like trickle.
When you were out, like out and about or at the hospital?
At home, middle of the night.
Oh.
It was like the anniversary of Kennedy's shooting or something like that. I just remember because I was reading the Stephen King book on that and I just eaten some chicken noodle soup. I don't remember. I don't know why. But Sean, once I went into like the water burst, Sean went into work to get his like work so he could.
Oh, that's right. But wait, so were you in bed or you were walking around?
I was in bed and I thought, oh shit. And okay. I wasn't having any contractions that I could notice, like really that I could notice. So I call my brother-in-law who's an OBGYN and then I call my doctor because I knew my doctor was going to say go to the hospital, but I'm like, do I really have to? And he's like, you absolutely do. If you're like water, if you're losing that much water, you just need to go in case you need more fluids or if the baby's in distress or, you know, there could be an infection.
Yeah.
So I call Sean who has gone to Santa Monica. We're in Los Feliz. That's boring. It's like the Californians on SNL where they just talk about like routes to go. But like that's a really far distance.
Yes, it's a very and far so, drive. But why did he go there? Oh, to pack his stuff up so he could work at the hospital.
He could work at the hospital.
Yeah.
Fucking dick face. And so he like he finally gets home. We get to the hospital and I go into triage. And they're like, yes, your water burst, but you are like not dilated at all.
Uh-huh.
You're not close to being in labor.
How far along are you?
I'm zero.
No, I mean, how many weeks?
Oh, 39.
Okay.
So it's perfect timing, full term. The nurses were lovely and they were totally supportive of me like trying to go into labor on my own. So I was like running around the hallways.
Mm-hmm.
But like attached to like my device, like this monitoring.
An IV? Oh, a monitor. Okay.
They just had to put the port in.
Right.
And then I was going around trying to get into labor and
doing squats.
Yeah. And after 24 hours or something around that, and I'm being checked on occasionally by my OBGYN, my doctor comes in, I'm still 0 centimeters.
Oh my gosh.
Like they're like high and tight. What was the other thing? They do centimeters and then the other...
High and tight. Oh, is it effaced?
I was not effaced at all either.
I don't know what that word means.
They just kept on saying like high and tight. And I'm like, what the fuck? Does it sound like a ponytail?
Yeah,
I don't
sounds
know.
Sounds nice.
A tight vagina? I'm not sure. I have a very tight vagina.
Well, high and tight means 0 effaced and 0 dilated. Effacement. As the baby's head drops down into the pelvis, it pushes against the cervix. This causes the cervix to relax and thin out, or efface. Effacement is described as a percentage. For example, if your cervix is not effaced at all, it is 0% effaced. If the cervix has completely thinned, it is 100% effaced. Dilation. After the cervix begins to efface, it will start to open. This is called cervical dilation. Cervical dilation is described in centimeters from 0 to 10. At 0, the cervix is closed. At 10, it's completely dilated. Your cervix must be completely dilated before you can start the pushing stage. High and tight.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
At this point, like, Sean slept. He's had meals. I haven't had anything to eat other than, like, popsicles. And, like, I've stayed up for, like, 24 hours.
I don't remember why people don't eat.
Because it's, like, because of the pain medication. Because you might throw up, and then there's a chance you could, choke on it. So it all comes down to, like,
are
that
stuff. Are you on pain meds yet?
I am not on pain meds yet. But at any point, like, something could go wrong, and they have to, like, administer them.
Gotcha.
So they just, like, do not let you to eat anything. That's
right.
Another reason that if everything's progressing normally, like, it is really good advice to stay home in a comfortable setting and, like, have a sandwich. Like, have half a glass of wine. At that point, you're not hurting your baby. Just, like, whatever, like, light candles, take a bath, whatever relaxes you, just do it. Because like hospitals, like who's comfortable in a hospital? Like it's just not comfortable.
Doctors,
but probably not even them for labor, right?
No, I don't know.
So it's all about like relaxing your body, and you're not relaxed. You're like high and tight, like my vagina. So they give me the Pitocin, and they give it in like it like it's inducing the pregnancy. So they're like trying to give you these. Oh my God.
contractions?
Contractions, that's the word. Jesus. And but the contractions, like, there's not as much space between them that there would be naturally. They're
more frequent.
They're more frequent.
I'm going to paraphrase everything you said.
Yeah,
saying.
She's going to translate into English because I can't speak English.
You're doing a great
job. No, I'm not. And then and then the magnitude, like, it's really, really crazy, okay. Really fast. So I'm on that for, like, I guess maybe 12 hours or something like that. And at this point, they're like, we have to get the baby, like, hospital protocol. If your water is, like, that low, I mean, is that you lost that much water, we're going to have to do a C-section.
Is it a certain amount of hours?
It was like an hour thing. Because they just go,
like,
based on...
Is it like 36 or something?
I got to go beyond that. She was nice with me because they kept on checking the baby's vitals. They checked on my vitals and both of us were doing great.
Yeah.
Just nothing was happening.
Okay.
They did a balloon somewhere in here. I can't remember. Like, it's all foggy because I was up the whole time.
Gotcha.
I get to 4.5 centimeters through the balloon and then nothing else.
Wow.
So eventually around the 48-hour mark, they're like... C-section, and then it happened so fast, and I was so sad.
Yeah,
because I had all these expectations of what a birth should look like, and right. Nothing's going right.
Yeah,
and they give me the spinal or the epidural, like, and then I get whisked into the, you know, operating room, and then I had my daughter, and she was like 9 pounds and perfect, and like no distress, and. All of those expectations just, like, went out the fucking window.
Oh, once you felt okay after?
Yes.
Oh,
I felt okay almost immediately.
Oh, good.
Like, I had a catheter. Yeah, I had to pee, like, from a, like, I couldn't pee for a couple days or whatever. Oh. But, like, who cares? Like,
yeah.
I was just so excited. So that was my only, like, the only lesson that I wish I could carry more into my, like, everyday life is to not have as many expectations.
Yes. I've learned that on my journey to this point. If anything, that's what I've learned from this.
That's where the suffering comes from, you know? Is these just like...
Yes.
But I was so lucky and she was so healthy and so big. And like she got like... They also told me that like C-section kids have a harder time breastfeeding. And like Moira chomped on that breast like immediately. She knew how to feed herself. And she was so perfect. Oh. And then with Jack, like we didn't... I thought it would take me 6 months to a year to get pregnant, and I was lucky. Like, we just
tried
once.
Oh my gosh!
And I was so lucky. And then he just a scheduled C-section because, like, why not? You know,
right? At that point, you were done with those expectations.
Well, and I already like ruined my lower abdomen. You know, like,
yeah.
And it's fine actually.
And there can be more complications, but people do it, and that's great too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything you do, everyone, is wonderful.
I think that's another thing, too, is like everything you do, breastfeeding versus not breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. Like their milk, you don't know if your milk ducts like are going to most people's work, but some people's get clogged constantly. And then you get like mastitis, like or mastitis or what?
Mastitis sounds right.
Also, every kid is different. Like Moira loved breastfeeding. Jack was like, I had to work and like he had a bottle. He's like, yeah, no more boobs.
This
bottle.
Is, yeah. I like this stuff.
I like it's faster.
Yeah.
You know? So
what were you pumping or was that formula?
Oh my God. Pumping is the goddamn worst. Like it's fine if you have to, but it's just like, it's not fun.
Yeah.
So, but I don't judge anyone who does it. Like some people probably are fine with it. Just for me, it was like being milked. You are being milked. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It is strange.
Like anyone who wants to do a natural birth or like drugs, like just do what is right for you.
Yeah.
It's all hard. Life's hard. Why care about that? Get Trump out of the White House. Oh. Like, you know what I mean? I wasn't going to talk about Trump.
I know. And but I did. You did. And I don't mind. I don't mind. I got a review on iTunes that said, I'm done with this left wing show. Trump 2020. And she gave me a one. Oh. Sorry, everyone.
Well, you know. I just like I'm COVID, whatever. There's just like so many bigger things than like judging another woman for not breastfeeding or breastfeeding.
Oh,
like
God.
Who cares?
God, no, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're drinking alcohol all the time or smoking cigarettes while you're pregnant, I might judge you a little.
Yeah, right. But my grandma Sullivan did that 7 babies,
sure.
You know?
My mom did it, I think, maybe for the first one, but he had heart surgery.
Did she smoke the whole time?
I can't remember. I'll have to call her right now.
Hello?
Hi.
Well, did I just hear Sophie's voice?
Hi,
Hi, Sophie.
What are you doing, Mom?
I'm actually recording because I have a question for you, real quick.
Yes.
Did you smoke during Adam's pregnancy?
Yes, I did.
Is it okay that I mention that on the podcast?
Well, it's the truth, and when he was very young, when he was a baby, and I was diapering him, and I had to change him, and I had a cigarette in my mouth, and Daddy said, "Look at you," and I'm like, "Oh, I realized what I was doing," and I stopped.
But you smoked while you were pregnant, though, right?
I did indeed.
Do you think that had anything to do with his heart problem?
I certainly don't know the answer to that. I think it's very likely the having an X-ray once a month, full body X-ray every month for a couple of years when I was little, had a lot more to do with any kind of prenatal defect.
Why were you having full body X-rays when you were little?
Because my mama had TB and she was sent away with tuberculosis. And I slept in the same room with her, and initially, so they kept thinking I was going to get TB.
Oh.
So I did have. So in those days, they didn't use lead aprons or anything like that. I know that my eggies were probably annoyed.
Well, yeah. But you had four other kids that didn't have big problems.
Robin had a prenatal defect.
What did he have?
He had a...
He had rocks in his brain.
No, he had a tumor.
Sorry, Sorry.
It was external to the skull, but it was indeed. Ren had fused teeth in the front.
He did?
Yes, all his baby teeth were fused, and he never got a fourth adult tooth in the front. I think he only has three. You know, the bottom four? I believe he only has three.
Oh, wow.
Four. Yes.
What's my defect?
You can't read.
I can't read.
You can't audition with a cold script.
But you did have, you did end up having some postpartum depression, did you?
Yes.
Not?
So yeah, and that was surprising because again, I had heard people getting postpartum depression kind of closer to the actual birth, and uh-huh. I hadn't heard about people getting it later. But I think you can get like some people get it. There's so many factors,
yeah.
Like hormones. Your life completely changes, like in a lot of really amazing good ways, but it does change and it's adjusting to those changes.
Hey, folks, I just wanted to give you a little heads up, a little mental health trigger warning that the subject of suicide and suicidal ideations comes up and in and out of conversation for the next 7 or 8 minutes. So if you want to skip it, go right ahead to 54 minutes and 15 seconds.
The sleep deprivation is no joke.
Not helpful.
So it all amplifies everything. And for my thing, it was my thyroid, and I didn't realize it.
Oh.
But like hyperthyroidism can give you a lot of anxiety because you're like you're uh-huh. just kind of going at hyperspeed, you know?
Sure.
So I couldn't sleep. I was losing all this weight. Like, by the way, like I look great. Pictures for this.
Isn't that the best?
Yeah, it's
when
like
you
you're
feel
like
your
I was
worst.
Like I was like, oh, I looked. I'm so much better when I have a little chub.
I'm so hot when I have my stomach problems.
Stomach block. Yeah, I know. Fit into everything. It's so sick. And then, then I like started having some suicidal thoughts. I never had any thoughts to like harm Moira. But my thoughts were more like, she'll have a better life without me.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, it just makes sense. And then
how long after her birth was this?
4 months.
Wow.
Between
okay.
4 and 5
I'd
months.
Never really realized that postpartum could take a while to kick in
I
either.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
And I heard that it can.
So that's
know?
Really good to know.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it went from... she'd be better without me to like I was planning the suicide.
Oh no.
And how I wanted, you know, Sean to be out of the house but then to come home soon so that he'd find me right away and Moira would be okay.
Oh,
and like
good
I was just
Lord.
Like it was just like, and I was like, oh, I, you know, like, I don't want to do Tylenol because I don't want brain damage. So I'm really going to have to like, I think I was like down to like slitting my wrists and I don't know. It was like in the tub and I wanted, no, I didn't want to mess. It was this whole thing, but I should be in clothes for when they find me. It was like all this stuff. It was crazy. And at the same time I was thinking this, I was like, another part of my brain was like, you need help.
Right.
You just need help. So then I'd been kind of carrying these thoughts with me on and off for like 3 weeks.
Had you shared anything with anyone?
No.
Wow.
And then, but when I was like starting to plan it,
yeah,
and it was causing me such happiness to plan it.
Oh no.
Which I was
this
like,
conversation is actually scary to me.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
But there was part of your brain that kind of can, if you listen to it.
Yes.
It kind of came in and saved me. And then I reached out to a Sean and a friend and my old therapist at the time. And they were all like, we will drive you to the hospital. We'll do whatever we need to do. Yeah. We'll do it right now.
Yeah.
So I got help immediately.
Okay.
And I saw a psychologist who then put me on antidepressants immediately. But I explained my other symptoms to her and she's like, you need a doctor. And I don't know if I must have gone to like an endocrinologist or something like that. But I can't even remember. But I got put on thyroid medicine that like got fixed immediately. But I was like, I'd heard of women getting hypothyroidism. I think that's actually pretty common after giving birth. Mm. Hyperthyroidism isn't as common. So my body just like was out of whack. So actually having that diagnosis along with that somehow like made it clearer in my head. I wasn't judging myself. I was like, oh, I'm sick right now. Like I need help. But I just, anyone out there who's like going through something like that, that like that is also a really valid illness, just to be unwell and just to feel that, particularly right now, like there's help.
If only there was like a test you could take to see if you're clinically depressed or to, you know what I mean? To validate it. But it is like, it is a,
no, it, I
it
mean,
is valid.
It's valid. And going back to like, it's okay to not be okay. It's a chemical imbalance and it's, you're not balanced when you have a baby. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Mm. All of those things, but also it's a total change. Your hormones change like all the time, like losing hair. Like it's insane. So it also affects your brain, you know, and it's really normal.
Yeah.
And most people don't get it that bad or bad is not the judgment, like that strong or something, but everyone, nobody judged me for that. And like, then I was fine. And then I was just on drugs. Yeah. Like, that's fine.
Yeah. Now, when you got pregnant with Jack, did you have a fear that it was going to happen again?
I already filled the prescription. Like I had tapered myself off those drugs, which I, with help. So don't ever like do that without help.
May I ask that you were on? Do you remember?
Zoloft.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I just had my doctor already have a prescription ready at home so that anytime my brain started going to that, it starts with like, for me, it was, I got kind of like easily angered, not at the kids, but like at Sean or the world or like a person littering on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just got like really just like, I wouldn't like confront them necessarily, but I would just be like really angry. Mm. And then that led to like depression. I don't know. So it was a very weird postpartum kind of ragey depression that then led to like suicidal ideations or whatever. And then, but it didn't get as bad with Jack because I had help and I was already had a therapist. I just had a game plan. I was like,
So you didn't end up going back on the...
Oh, yeah. I went on the drugs. And then like, honestly, I just recently went off of it with a doctor's help because having two was, it's like how I coped for a while, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
And some people need it for the rest of their lives and that's totally fine too.
Yeah.
So.
Hey folks, I've always wanted to do an episode about mental health and pregnancy and taking psychotropic medications during pregnancy, but I'm not sure if I know anybody personally who has done that. So if you have feelings about it, or if you know a psychiatrist that could talk to me, I would love that. Anyway, if you have any suggestions, send me an email, spermcast@gmail.com.
Well, that's really, really interesting. I didn't know that you were going through that much. I have zero memory, but I'm pretty sure you probably told us that you had some postpartum.
I think so. I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm sharing stories of like my uterus and like fluids coming out of me, but like, I'm not like, even with my friends, I don't tell everything, you know?
No. Yeah, I guess not.
I guess maybe part of me might have been ashamed. I'm not sure. I think I was cool saying that I was depressed, but like talking about the plan, like the actual insanity, that was what kind of brought me out of it, was just the insanity of the plan. Like I was like, oh, this is insane. I'm an insane person right
now. Yeah, you were able to, I like that how you put it, like there was a different part of your brain that was like, this isn't okay. We need to get help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
listen to that. We're kind of like taught not to listen to that as women, I guess as people in general, like not to like listen to what our gut's telling us, but you know, sometimes it knows.
Whew, thank goodness.
I know.
For that little extra part of your brain.
I know. And I'm good now.
Yeah. You know? And did your thyroid stuff come back or did you stay on a drug? No. That's good.
No, there was no rapid weight loss the second time. It was like gradual, which I was totally fine with though, because I was like healthy. So
yeah,
it's all good.
You look fabulous. You really do.
Thanks. Yeah. You look fabulous.
Thanks.
You do. You look glowing. Like you can't see her right now, everyone, but like it's glowing and it is hot.
I showed her my stomach. What do you think?
It looks great.
Does it look like I'm showing or does it look like my old belly?
Wait, how many weeks now?
16 today, baby.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're showing. But it's like a little showing. You could still hide it if you needed to. Like
I could still button my pants if I needed to.
Yeah.
I haven't tried though. COVID. There's no reason to put on normal pants.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, that's a good timing, Anne.
Okay. This was so nice. I'm going to miss you.
Wasn't this so much better than doing it over the phone with the crackly voice?
It was nice to see you before you leave.
I haven't seen anyone,
so it's lovely to see you, and I'm so happy for you.
Oh, thank you so much, Anne.
Your compression, like my compression socks, it just looks
beautiful.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Rain.
Rain, 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 rain.
Next time I see you.
Next time I see you.
It's gonna be raining in the summer.
From my tear ducts.
Raining from my tear ducts.
Also from my vagina. I'm just going back. I talked about a lot of fluids coming out of my vagina.
That's what it is. Orifices and fluids and rain.
And rain.
Rain. Feel it on my fingertips.
Feel it on my fingertips.
What's that song? What?
I don't think. Is that a song?
Let me feel that rain. Coming down like rain.
I don't know.
It might even be Madonna.
Oh, okay.
It's probably not, though.
Yeah.
She's, shit.
I don't know.
But now I have a song to fade out to. Wash away my sorrow. Take away my pain. Your love's coming down like rain. That's it for the show, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for doing this with me. And for repeating the interview, oh my goodness, and I'm sorry again, I didn't remember everything, but it was so great to hear everything for a second time, and now I'll never forget again. Listeners, if you want to follow Anne on Instagram, she didn't tell me if she wants people to do that or not, but she does have an Instagram. It's Anne, A-N-N-E, another E, and then Greg, Anne E. Greg. Anyway, want to subscribe to the Patreon? Go to patreon.com/spermcast, and you'll have lots of exclusive content to dig into for the rest of your life. patreon.com/spermcast. Want to support the podcast with your money but don't want to do the whole subscription thing? You can always just give money at Venmo. My screen name is Molly-Hockey. Another way to support the podcast is to rate and review, you crazy person, if you haven't done that yet. If you have, thank you so much. You're so sweet. I love it so much. Rate and review, subscribe, tell your friends to listen, send them a text, give them an episode that you love, be like, yo, you gotta listen to this podcast, you're gonna love it. Fertility consultations, I'm here. If you need an ear, email me at spermcast@gmail.com with any questions. Email in general is the best way to reach me. Again, it's spermcast@gmail.com. But you can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Spermcast. And you can also leave a voicemail or text me at 323-741-1818.
And oh my gosh, the deadline for registering to vote is coming up in so many places right this minute. I hope you're registered to vote because early voting starts soon and you could get out there and be doing that. Or you could do your mail-in ballot. There's so many things that you could be doing. I mean, you could be text banking and phone banking. If you want to do that with me, just send me a message. You can join my Zooms when I do it with other people. It's so fun. Anyway, I love you so much. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a wonderful week and I'll talk to you next week. At week 17. Bye-bye.
He could be bald and bearded, short or tall. Funny, smart, love basketball. From gay to straight, black to white. Tiny eyes with an underbite. I just need sperm. Spermcast.
An Erios production.
Powered by Acast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.